This morning in our worship service, in our study, we began looking at overcoming the sin of hypocrisy. Pointed out the fact that there are few sins and perhaps even few words that can conjure up in the heart of the hearer feelings of disgust and disdain, like the word hypocrite does, and hypocrisy. Pointed out that William Barclay, a denominational scholar and writer, said in the New Testament, there is no sin more strongly condemned than hypocrisy. And in popular opinion, there is no sin more universally detested. And indeed, that is true. Jesus, in his confrontations that he had with the scribes and the Pharisees, very often referred to them as hypocrites, and then pointed out and even condemned their hypocritical behavior. We look this morning at what was wrong with hypocrisy, why it's something that you and I need to take seriously and make sure that we're not guilty of. We pointed out, number one, that hypocrisy actually is a form of lying. And we know the fate of all liars, and we know what God thinks of lying. Hypocrisy taints love. Love is the greatest virtue that we have, and everything that we do is to be motivated by love. But when it's discovered that our love has come from hypocrisy, that we weren't sincere in doing the things we were doing or saying the things we were saying, it undoes any good that we hope to accomplish acting out of love when it comes from a hypocritical heart. Hypocrisy harms the cause of Christ. There's hypocrites in the church. We hear that excuse thrown around all the time, but I tell you, sometimes it's not without merit. When Christians act hypocritical, then there are hypocrites in the church. And we need to be careful that we're not a stumbling block to those who need to see the light of the gospel in our lives, when instead they're seeing us claim to be Christians, but living just like the rest of the world. It harms the cause of Christ. It's a stumbling block to others. Hypocrisy is contagious. We saw the influence that Peter's hypocrisy had there in Antioch upon others, including Barnabas, who got carried away with him and played the hypocrite. And of course, as with all sin, the hypocrite is going to be destroyed in an eternal hell. All liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, and hypocrisy is a form of lying. So we know what's wrong with it. And we know that if we're guilty of this sin, that we need to repent of it. Yet, like many other sins, it can be habit-forming. Acting the hypocrite or playing the hypocrite, being hypocritical, can be habit-forming. And if we realize that we have a problem with it, we need to strive not only to seek God's forgiveness, but we need to strive to overcome acting the hypocrite and overcome hypocrisy. So how can we do that? There are some things I want to look at in our short time this afternoon as to how we can overcome the sin of hypocrisy. Well, number one, we need to repent of our sin. And I mean truly repent of our sin. One reason that Christians can be hypocrites. And remember, a hypocrite is someone who is pretending to be someone that they are not. One reason that Christians can be hypocrites, that is, pretend to be righteous people, is the fact that really, truly, they have sin in their life, and if people knew about it, they would be terribly embarrassed. And so instead of repenting of that sin, they cover it up with a show. They cover it up with an act. They're hypocrites. Well, what we really need to do, if that's the reason we're being hypocritical, if we're acting like we're righteous, we need to deal with that sin honestly. We need to repent of that sin. Remember that Judas acted pious in an attempt to cover up the fact that he was covetous and he was a thief. We saw this morning in John chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, that whenever Mary broke that vial of costly perfume and began to anoint the feet of Jesus with it, what Judas protested on the grounds that that money could go and help the poor, remember? Why hasn't this been sold and the money be given to the poor? But his motives were not honest. Verse 6 says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. and had the money box, and he used to take what was in it. Well, what Judas needed to do is he needed to repent of his covetousness. He needed to repent of his love of money. He didn't need to worry about that vial of perfume that was being used and how it was being used. He needed to repent of his sin. The Pharisees put much effort into acting righteous, but their hearts were actually and truly full of sin. In Matthew chapter 23, and this is a chapter in which Jesus goes into great detail exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees. And in these two verses, Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." Of course, that's true. Now, if you're thinking about dirty dishes, and you've got a sink full of hot soapy water, and you've got a dish, you've got a cup, rather, if you'll just plunge that down into the water and scrub on the inside of it, well, the outside's going to get clean naturally in that process. Jesus, though, wasn't talking about doing dishes. Jesus was talking about their hearts. The Pharisees put on a big show. They dressed in a different way and they acted in a different way to put on the show that they were righteous. But Jesus could see through all that. He saw right in their heart and saw that they were full of sin, full of extortion and self-indulgence. What the Pharisees needed to do, and perhaps what you and I need to do, is clean out the heart. And when we get to the heart of the matter, and we clean our heart, our outward life is going to take care of itself. If we'll clean ourselves from the inside out, we don't have to worry about putting on a show. We don't have to worry about looking like we're righteous. We will be righteous people, and we'll act in a righteous way. So if we can clean the heart and get to the heart of the matter, then that will help us to overcome this need to put on a show. The proper way to deal with sin is repentance. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, when Simon the sorcerer fell into sin in offering money to Peter and John, Peter said, "Repent and pray to God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." That's how we deal with sin in our life. We repent. We turn away from it. We stop doing it. We don't put on a show. We don't create a character. We don't create some facade to try to fool everyone with. We repent of our sin. Not only do we need to repent of our sin, if we find ourselves playing the hypocrite, we find ourselves having to act righteous instead of being righteous, perhaps it's not just that we need to repent of a sin, but we need to change some habits in our lives so that we stay away from the temptation to fall into that sin in the first place. We are to give. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. We are to test all things and to avoid every appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and at verse 22. So how can we overcome the sin of hypocrisy? If hypocrisy is the result of us trying to hide the sin in our life and act righteous, we need to repent of our sin. We need to get to the heart of the matter, and we need to truly be righteous people. A second suggestion. If we find ourselves playing the hypocrite, perhaps what we need to do is we need to stop seeking the praise of men. Some Christians are hypocritical because they are conflicted between trying to please both God and man. On the Lord's Day, they want to please the Lord. When they're praying unto God, they're interested in God and wanting to please God. But when they step out into the world, well, they want to please the world. They want to be accepted by both. The Bible makes it very clear that we cannot divide our loyalty between two masters. Most of us are familiar with Matthew 6 and at verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot divide your loyalty. And that's one of the reasons we have some Christians who are acting the hypocrite, because they want to be right with God and they want to please their brethren, but they also want to enjoy the world and they want to be accepted by the world, and somewhere they've got to put on a show. Because they can't be the same thing. They're contradictory. We can't be righteous and serve the Lord acceptably and be in sin and be accepted by the sinful world. So somewhere there's a show going on. The sad thing is that 9 times out of 10, if not 100% of the time, the show is in here. And the real thing's going on out there. And that's a shame. We cannot divide our loyalty between two masters. But acting one way on Sunday to please God and acting a different way the rest of the week to seek the approval of men is hypocritical. This balancing act may fool brethren and it may fool friends, and we may even fool ourselves for a while, but it doesn't fool God. He sees through it all. All things are naked and open to Him to whom we must give account. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You can't have it both ways. You're either a friend of God or you're a friend of the world. You can't have it both ways. Psalm 119 and verse 10 says that we are to seek the Lord with our whole heart. We don't divide it in half and give half to God and half to the world. We don't give God 90%, just keep back 10% for the world. No, we seek the Lord with our whole heart. If we're doing that, we won't be playing the hypocrite. We'll be genuine in our service unto God. We've got to choose godly character over a worldly reputation. A mature Christian knows that his duty is to please God and not to please man. The Apostle Paul understood this. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You see, Paul wasn't going to be a hypocrite. If he was going to please men, he'd please men. But he was about pleasing God, so he didn't care what men thought. That wasn't his driving factor in his life. What do people think about me? He served the Lord as a faithful child of God, regardless of the cost, and we need to do the same thing. The Pharisees really, honestly, set themselves up in their own trap. The Pharisees had set themselves up as the most righteous and devout of the Jews. That's how they portrayed themselves, and that's what all the Jews thought of them. Those Pharisees, they are righteous people. They are devout people. Well, the Pharisees had to keep up that reputation. And so in an effort to keep up their reputation, they fell victim to the temptation to keep up appearances at all cost. Pretty soon, the inward practice of their religion gave way to merely the outward appearance. As long as they had the appearance of being righteous, as long as others looked at them and saw that they were righteous, that's all they cared about, keeping up appearances. And that's why the Lord had the constant refrain, "You're hypocrites, you're hypocrites. You're simply putting on a show." The practice of their religion soon became such that all they were interested in was getting approval from their fellow man, knowing that they were keeping up the show, knowing that they kept people believing they were righteous. They didn't care what God thought. They gave their gifts publicly so people could see it and pat them on the back. They prayed long prayers out on the street corner so people would stop and see them praying. When they fasted, they dressed in such a way that they made themselves look pitiful so everyone would say, "Oh, he's fasting, and I'm not. He sure is a righteous person." All for the praise of men. Why? Because they had to keep up appearances. Well, In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, I realize that there's a part of our service unto God that is going to be seen by men. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So if we are faithful Christians, we're going to live a life in the world that people, they're going to see it. They're going to see our good works. But here's the difference between a faithful child of God and a hypocrite. A hypocrite does it for their own praise. A faithful child of God does it so that God gets the glory. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this outward act? Why am I engaged in this? Is it so I can get credit, or is it so that God can get glorified? If you're struggling with hypocrisy, and maybe this would be the solution to your problem, stop seeking the praise of men and give your whole heart to serving the Lord and seek your praise from Him instead. Something else that may help us to overcome hypocrisy is we need to learn how to practice what we preach. We talked about that some this morning, that was a problem caused by hypocrisy, that we didn't practice what we preach. Well, that's one way to solve it, is simply practice what we preach. Matthew chapter 23, verses 2 and 3, it says that Jesus said, "The scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat." That is, they sat in a position of teaching. They were the teachers of the people. "They sat in Moses' seat, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not." And the way we put that today is they don't practice what they preach. I want you to notice something here at this passage, and then we'll go on and make our point. I want you to notice that Jesus did not disregard their teaching. He condemned their hypocrisy, their behavior. But notice, he said, "You listen to what they are teaching you." They were teaching the truth. That tells me that truth is truth, even out of the mouth of a hypocrite. Truth is truth. And we're not to allow the hypocrisy of the teacher to excuse us from doing what we learn we need to do. Hypocrites in the church is not an excuse for not serving the Lord. So I wanted to point that out here. Jesus condemned them, but he did not dismiss the teaching. Truth is truth. But the problem is that they were not practicing what they were preaching. They said, but they did not do. If we claim to be a Christian, most people in the world know, have some kind of an idea of what our beliefs are. They have an idea of what is right and what is wrong from a so-called Christian perspective, point of view. They need to see us acting accordingly. And when they see us engaging in sin, while we claim to be a Christian and thus would claim to uphold the teachings of Jesus Christ, they see that inconsistency. That's called hypocrisy. We need to practice what we preach. The Jews were condemned in Romans chapter 2 for failing to practice what they preach. They looked down their noses upon the Gentiles because God had given them, the Jews, the law. It was theirs, and they had it, and they even knew how to teach it, but they were no better off than the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, they were worse off than the Gentiles because although they had the law and although they taught the law, they didn't keep the law. They violated it just like the Gentiles did. How are they worse than the Gentiles? To whom much has been given, from him much will be expected. The Jews were given the law, and they didn't keep the law. They didn't practice what they preached. As a result, they stood to receive a condemnation. They were under sin just like the Gentiles were under sin. You know, perhaps no man was in a better position to understand the truth regarding the acceptance of the Gentiles into the Lord's church than the Apostle Peter. We know that in Acts chapter 10, that he received visions to teach and to reinforce the truth that the Gentiles were now acceptable candidates for baptism without circumcision. He fell into the trance while he was up on the roof of that house in Acts chapter 10. And remember, he saw that sheet full of animals being lowered down before him. And he was told, "Arise, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for nothing unclean has ever come into my mouth or into my lips." And the voice said, "What God has cleansed, do not call common or unclean." And it happened a total of 3 times. And then immediately after that, the Spirit told him, "You go downstairs to these men who are calling for you, and you go with them, and you don't ask anything." And when they finally made it back to Caesarea, where Cornelius was at, he entered in and saw all the people who were there gathered together. He began to preach, and as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles who was there. Time after time after time in that short account, there was the miraculous reinforcement of the truth. These Gentiles are now candidates for the gospel. So not only did Peter see the truth regarding uncircumcised Gentiles, he preached the truth regarding this particular issue. In Acts chapter 11, verses 4 through 18, after going to the house of Cornelius and baptizing him, he comes back to Jerusalem, and the rest of the Jewish Christians are waiting for him. "Yeah, we heard what you did. What do you got to say for yourself?" And he breaks out into a sermon, and he breaks it down for them, and the result is, you were right. You were right to baptize them. So he preached the truth there. He also preached the truth in Acts chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. Peter knew it. He'd been taught it through divine visions and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He knew it well enough to teach it. And yet, when he came to Antioch, did he practice what he preached? No, he didn't. In Galatians at chapter 2, 11 through 13, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." Peter, in Antioch, regarding the uncircumcised Gentiles, didn't practice what he preached. He didn't do what he knew was right. Paul called him on it. Said he was playing the hypocrite, acting the hypocrite. The same thing can be said about any one of us who claim to be Christians. When people see us acting in a way that's contrary to the will of God, they know that they're seeing a hypocrite. So we need to practice what we preach. We need to make sure that our words and our actions are always in harmony with the truth of God's Word. Practice what we preach. A fourth way that we can overcome hypocrisy, if that is our problem, if we have a problem with hypocrisy, perhaps we need to stop being so judgmental of others, and we need to learn to practice righteous judgment and judge with righteous judgment. Our reading before the lesson this afternoon came from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, in which Jesus charges his disciples, charges his listeners. He's not forbidding them from judging, but he's cautioning them about the way that they judge. "Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So be careful the way that you judge." And here's what you want to avoid. You want to avoid hypocritical judgment. What is hypocritical judgment? Verse 3, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" Hypocrite. There's our word. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Here's the hypocritical judgment that's going on. Here's a person that has a glaring obstruction in their eye. It's a plank, it's a log, it's a beam, depending on your translation. It's protruding, sticking out of your eye. And yet he goes to his brother who's got a little speck in his eye, got a little piece of sawdust in his eye, and he's saying, here, let me help you get that thing out of your eye. Well, that's comical. That's comical when you think about what's trying to be done right here. But it isn't very funny when you see it in real life. And you see someone who has a glaring, obvious sin in their life. And they've got the audacity to go around and try to point out faults in other people. That's hypocritical. They're giving themselves a free pass. Yeah, I might be guilty of this, but let me tell you what, you're guilty of this. They're giving themselves a free pass while they're looking everybody else over with a microscope, finding the smallest of faults and trying to correct those. What Jesus says here in verse 5, the way we'd put it today is, you clean up your own house before you go and clean up somebody else's. You take care of your own sin. You take care of your own faults, your own problems, before you have the audacity to go and try to point out somebody else's. We need to learn to judge with righteous judgment. The way Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 23, he condemned the Pharisees there for straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. You're going to be so meticulous in this one thing and then just ignore the obvious in something else. That's hypocritical judgment. Instead, we need to learn to judge with righteous judgment. As Jesus put it in John at chapter 7, and verse 24. Some will condemn sins in others while ignoring sin that exists in their own life. They're ready to throw down the gauntlet or throw the book at somebody else for their sin. But when it comes to their own sin, oh, God understands my heart. And God knows that I'm trying. And God knows I've got the best of intentions. And God certainly wouldn't condemn me or my loved ones, or my friends. But this person over here, they got sin in their life and they need to get that taken care of. That's hypocritical. That's being a hypocrite. Instead, we need to judge righteous judgment. What is that? That is, we need to judge according to the right standard. We need to make judgments that are right. And we need to make them consistently and without prejudice and without partiality. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. When it comes to judging others and approaching others about sin in their life, and the context here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 is a preacher having to confront elders who have sin in their life. And the charge is, you do it without prejudice and without partiality. We've got to judge righteous judgment. Otherwise, we'll end up being a hypocrite. That doesn't mean that we go to the opposite extreme and we ignore all sin. Sin can't be ignored in our life or in the life of a brother. If we see someone who's overtaken in a fault, we're to restore them in a spirit of meekness. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. That doesn't mean that we overlook sin, but we need to make sure that our judgment of others is consistent with the judgment we use for ourselves, and we need to make sure also that our judgment upon others is mingled with a good dose of mercy. James chapter 2 and at verse 13 says, let's back up and look at verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We want to receive mercy. We all need mercy. The best way to ensure that we receive mercy, not only from God, but also from our brethren, is to make sure that we show mercy. That we're merciful to others when it's time to come and to help somebody to get something out of their eye, that we're gentle and we're merciful as opposed to being hypocritical. And one final suggestion of how we can overcome hypocrisy. Remember what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is someone who's putting on a show, someone who is pretending to be something that they are not in order to get someone to believe something about them that isn't true. A hypocrite is someone who is pretending, or as we pointed out, a hypocrite is a liar. Someone who is lying, well, we need to get in the habit of telling the truth. And not just telling the truth, we need to get in the habit of living the truth. Making sure that not only are we speaking only the truth, but making sure that we're conducting ourselves in such a way that there are no misunderstandings about who we pretend to be. We're not pretending, about who we claim to be. Make sure we aren't leaving any false pretenses in the way that we choose to live our life. Hypocrisy is a form of lying. And if we're having a problem with hypocrisy, perhaps we need to stop lying. And we need to make it our goal and our aim to only speak and to only live in a way that is the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul here is talking about taking up a collection. The churches in Achaia and Macedonia are taking up a collection, and it's being sent back to the church in Jerusalem. And of course, Paul's going that way, so they could have just given the money to Paul, but Paul didn't want that. Paul had each church choose their own messenger who would travel with him with that gift from the churches back to Jerusalem. Why did Paul do this? Why did Paul have all these people travel with him? In verse 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 says, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Paul took great pains to make sure that people understood that he was an honest man, that he was on the up and up. He provided honorable things. He lived in an honorable way before all people. And we need to learn to live that way. We need to be transparent in our motives and in our sincerity. We need to be honorable and open before all. That's the way our God is. God is not a hypocrite. In the book of James, at chapter 1, James chapter 1, and at verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God doesn't change. God doesn't turn. God isn't one thing one day and something else the other day. God is the same. And we need to follow that example of our Heavenly Father. We need to be honest. We need to be the same people to everyone all the time. We need to be honest with others. We need to live openly and honestly with others. And brethren, that starts by learning to be honest with ourselves. Perhaps that's where some of us are at. We've got to learn to be honest with ourselves regarding who we are and the state or the condition in which we live. In the book of Philippians, at chapter 4 and verse 11. Philippians chapter 4 and at verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. We've got to learn the same thing, that we are who we are, and we're not ashamed of that, and that's who we're going to be. And that will help us to avoid falling to the pressure of feeling like we've got to put on a show for somebody else. We've got to act like we're somebody that we're not in order to impress somebody else. Randy and Missy Reeder have learned that I really like the Andy Griffith Show. They do as well. I hate to tell on y'all about that, but the three of us really like the Andy Griffith Show. And you want to join us with that? Well, that's just fine. But I've noticed in watching that show that so often the comedy tension in those shows and in others as well is, well, somebody's coming into town and I've told them that I'm such and such and I'm really not, And so everybody in the town tries to prop them up where they look like they're somebody when they're really not. And there's a handful of episodes where that's the source of the comedy. And we've seen it in other shows as well. And it's kind of funny when you're watching it on TV, and it's kind of pathetic when you see it in real life. A couple goes into debt, tens of thousands of dollars into debt, so they can act like they're living at an economic level that they're really not at. Somebody puts on airs and uses a bunch of big fancy words to make up for what he feels is a lack of education. They're putting on a show. They're pretending that they're someone that they're really not. We need to learn to be honest with ourselves. We are who we are. Doesn't mean we can't improve ourselves, but until we have, don't act like we have. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves and honest to others. Let's portray ourselves for who we really are. Get in the habit of telling and living the truth. I think that will help those who are struggling with hypocrisy, the need to put on a show for somebody else. Well, perhaps there are other things that we could look at, other truths that we could glean from Scripture that would help us to overcome this sin, but these will do for our study this afternoon. We know what hypocrisy is. It is a terrible sin that must be overcome. How can we overcome it? Well, it all depends on why it is we're wanting to pretend to be someone that we're really not. Maybe we're covering up sin in our life. Well, then we need to repent of that sin. Maybe we're just wanting people to believe that we're someone great. We need to quit looking for the praise of men. And we need to start living for the praise and the approval of God. We need to practice what we preach instead of making one claim on Sunday and living like someone else the rest of the week. We need to be consistent. We need to judge with righteous judgment. Quit holding others to a higher standard than we hold ourselves to. And we need to be honest. We need to be honest with others. We need to be honest with ourselves. I believe in doing that, that will help us to overcome a problem with hypocrisy. You know, when I was younger, acting like I was someone that I wasn't, and that was fun to do as a child. To get one of my mom's bath towels and a safety pin and attach it around my neck and be a superhero for a while. That was fun. Or to be in a play as a child at going to school and getting to pretend and act like I'm a person from the past, or I'm somebody else. That's a lot of fun. And people who are talented at acting can be an honorable profession. I think it's difficult to do that nowadays. Acting can be an honorable profession, but there's nothing honorable about someone playing the hypocrite. There's nothing honorable about that at all. Hypocrisy is a sin. It is a sin that received the Lord's strongest condemnation. It is a purposeful effort to deceive others with regard to our true character and our true motives. If we find that we have a problem with this sin, we need to repent of it. And we need to take the steps that are necessary for us to purge this sin from our heart, from our lives, and from our character, and to serve the Lord and to serve our brethren and our mankind with honesty and with sincerity. Thank you for your kind and patient attention to the things we've had to study from God's Word, both this morning and this afternoon. If you need to respond to the invitation, we're going to offer it at this time. Maybe you're ready to obey the gospel. You need to do so now. Maybe you have sin in your life and need to make it right in a public way. Now would be the appropriate time as well. Perhaps you're overburdened with a sin or with a trial in your life, and you just need our prayers. We'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming and meeting me right up here at the front as together we stand and sing this song.